Welcome to Security Guy Radio at
Black Hat USA.
I'm going to start over. Hold on.
This is.
I'm getting tired. All right. One, two, three. Welcome to Security Guy Radio at Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
Bill Keeler, director at Cyber Reason.
What does Cyber Reason do?
Cyber Reason is a security company, obviously, and we have taken a new approach to finding the bad guys, the adversaries. We've basically taken an approach that we're going to attack the bad guys and turn the tables on them.
I like it.
Make them the victims.
More of an offensive approach.
An offensive approach to security.
Now, is that unique in your business? Seems like
Very unique. You may have heard of something called threat hunting. And threat hunting has been terminology that's been around for several years, and many companies are doing it. We happen to protect, at Cyber Reason, endpoints. Smartphones, servers, printers, laptops, those types of devices. And our founders, who were in the Israeli military, figured out years ago that one way to turn the tables on the bad guys was to take an offensive approach. The best defense is a good offense.
Right.
It's a sports analogy. It's been used many times over again. And it's really, really enabled us to grow the company quickly, to obtain new customers in pharmaceutical areas, finance, hospitals, medical, etc. And there's no shortage, unfortunately, of stories in the news relating to hacks and theft of IP.
Absolutely.
And the consequences and ramifications of that can be very severe.
Now, when I was at Disney, I started their intellectual property protection program for pre-theatrical screenings. So back in the day, people would take a camera, go inside a pre-screening, and film the movie and sell it for a dollar downtown in the alley, right? And what we did is we would take fake file names of Pirates of the Caribbean and flood the Juarez sites and put a million of those file names up there so you didn't know what the real one was, right? That was aggressive in a way, kind of, you know,
proactive.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So how does Cyber Reason handle the offense and attack part? I don't want you to give away any secrets, but, you know, it sounds like if you're attacking them, obviously you're not breaking the law, but what do you do for countermeasures that make them shut down, stay away, back off?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Different than regular, oh, you got through my gateway, let me turn you off now. That's not the same thing. You're going to their gateway.
Right. We're going to their gateway. And we're also doing it in what we call an automated fashion. Manually, you know, having a team in a security operations center or a SOC go after some of these adversarial nations or rogue hacking groups is very difficult. It's very technical. So through behavioral analysis, threat intelligence, machine learning, we've come up with a platform. When you put all of that together, it enables our team to go out and help these banks and hospitals and pharmaceutical companies find patterns with which hackers try to break into networks. If you know what the hackers are doing and you think like a hacker, you're going to be more successful in determining where they are, what part of the network they're trying to get into, and what information they may be trying to steal.
Now, I've heard a lot today the term behavioral analytics and utilizing that and integrating it into your existing platform and products for this next generation type of technology and capabilities. Can you explain a little bit more on that end?
Yeah, it would simply be that you are understanding what the behaviors of the adversaries are. So our founders, being in the Unit 8200 portion of the Israeli Defense Forces, were carrying out some of the biggest cyber attacks against adversarial nations when they were part of the military. They know the behaviors. They know how hackers are thinking. And if you put all that together in a software platform in a very automated fashion to be able to secure hundreds of thousands or millions of endpoints. So when I mentioned a cell phone or a smartphone or a laptop, think about some of the largest companies in the world that have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of employees. Each employee may have two or three endpoints.
Yep.
Right.
If you think about how that scales globally, the hacker's looking for one weak point in a network, and they will probe and they will look and they will hunt until they find that weak point. And it's up to the end users, the pharma companies, the banks and the hospitals to figure out what strategies are necessary to keep those adversaries from being successful. It's taking new approaches, and that's why we feel like our hunting platform and hunting engine taking a much more aggressive and offensive approach to going after the bad guys is really enabling our customers to turn the tables.
Now, when you find them,
I was just going to ask,
does it? You don't hack them, I assume.
No,
but you're ahead of the game. Before they get there, you know who they are, and now you're better able to block them. Is that a good way to say it?
It's a very good way of saying it, because if you look at some of the bigger hacks that have been in the news, it's oftentimes that the hackers poked and prodded and looked for different entry points into the network. If we, with our automated platform, can spot an attack and then find multiple ways to shut it down across a broad network, at the end of the day, we're helping our customers and being more successful and keeping IP safe and keeping proprietary data safe. And really, the end goal is to keep our customers out of the headlines.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
No one wants to be in the headlines for being hacked.
Absolutely.
No, and C-level guys are losing their jobs over this stuff now.
There was a study a few years ago about how more than 80% of CEOs were completely oblivious to the fact that their enterprise, their company, was being hacked on a regular basis.
No, I believe it.
Now, that number would be a lot lower today, but I'm guessing not much lower than 60 or 70%.
Right.
Companies are at least finally addressing those issues and addressing the concerns. And
So I kind of feel like, just being in this space for as long as I have been, not going to date myself here, but the proactiveness, do you feel like this is still kind of a new approach that companies are still not necessarily rapidly adopting? Or is there been a shift in the mentality of organizations realizing they have to change their approach to more proactiveness instead of being more on the defensive side?
I think that the terminology around offensive is still new. Threat hunting has been a term that's been used for several years. And with many different technologies, sometimes it takes a little bit longer, or it takes a few years for it to be adopted.
Yeah.
There are many companies out there selling threat hunting solutions. Where we believe that CyberReason is unique is that we're being really, really aggressive in terms of being very offensive, taking the attack to the bad guys and using an unparalleled level of ability that our founding team brought from the Israeli military, and knowing the strategies, and really being hackers themselves. Being in Israel, a country of 8 million people, in the area that they're in the Middle East, they're being attacked from all sorts of different areas and by big countries and small countries. And the training and the expertise that our founders built as being part of the IDF was really the genesis for the platform and the genesis for the company.
Now, when you say hackers, what percentage, it's just a guess, would you attribute to a state being involved in this as opposed to a private guy who's just an ass and wants to make some money? Are you seeing more state enterprises involved in this, countries and things like that?
You know, evidenced by hacks against Sony, hacks against the DNC most recently. The nation-state adversaries have certainly upped their game.
And they're not financial gain. They are more about...
Is it more publicity?
There are hacktivist groups,
trying to
right?
change opinion, maybe, or something like that?
If you're familiar with the Anonymous group.
Yes. Yeah.
So Anonymous was oftentimes looking for a political gain. They were trying to make a political statement against the company. That was certainly the case with the Sony hackings.
Yeah.
But other adversarial groups are looking to monetize their hacks. They're looking to steal the IP. They're looking to sell it on the dark web. And they're looking to take advantage of it in that particular fashion. There are rogue hacking groups out there doing really, really bad things. There are state-sponsored groups doing really, really bad things. And the reality today is you've got to find new ways to protect what is important to you, and that's that IP. It could be customer data, it could be your own data, and like I said, our role is to protect our customers and to protect more companies and try to keep them from being in the headlines for the wrong reasons.
So you mentioned that you focus a lot on the endpoint security. How are you, or if you're not, have you considered how CyberReason plays a role in the Internet of Things space, as there's been a lot of talk around this conference about how are we going to manage it, how are we going to secure it, and how it affects the threat landscape? Does CyberReason play a role in that?
We definitely play a role in that. When you think of IoT, and you think of the excitement around the connected world that we live in, it does, to a lot of people, open their eyes to the fact that there are a lot of security risks involved with everything that is connected with a processor to a network somewhere. It could be the shopping list that you're keeping electronically on your refrigerator.
Yep.
It could be the fact that you're electronically able to schedule your next oil change. It could be anything like that in a small or broad scale. And I don't think that we've really come to the point where we really know how important IoT could be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
Absolutely.
There's threats and incidents down the road that we don't even know about yet. And there will be many challenges for companies that are promoting the benefits of IoT, because at the end of the day, if you're not able to secure the information, and I go back to securing IP, the legal ramifications, branding ramifications that companies could face from bad publicity.
That's right. That'll kill you first before the financial loss.
And if you think of it at a bigger scale, think about the ramifications in hospitals with
Absolutely.
Defibrillators being connected.
Yep.
And we all remember the Homeland episode years ago with the vice president having the defibrillator.
Totally doable.
This is real world stuff that could happen. And the ramifications could be, you know, life-threatening.
Now, CyberReason has a set of clients, and your data that you gather from those clients is about a set amount of hackers. It's a subgroup of a giant group of all the hackers in the world, let's say, right? Do you take that reason, does CyberReason take that data and then use that for specific analysis where you might compare it with somebody else, share it with law enforcement? I don't know. In other words, you're going to see patterns with your clients that could be unique.
Correct.
Maybe you have that one hacker that nobody else has.
It's important to be sharing as much information in the cyber community as you can. Companies are subscribing to threat intelligence and utilizing the good work that companies that specifically work in that field do to gather information on the bad guys. And companies typically will pool those resources to share it to better understand what the hackers
are
doing. And in instances where we've been able to help a pharma customer or a bank or a hospital, and if we're able to share the intel that we have and the insights that we have for the betterment of the universe, the betterment of the industry, then we would absolutely do that. And most companies, I think, would.
Well, that's good. That's good. Is there anything on the horizon that you think is the next big threat that's maybe not a priority right now? People are kind of saying, well, we'll look at that someday, but do you think they should look at it
sooner?
Well,
I think in the short term, right, think about the political ramifications of our election in November.
Yeah.
We've already had the WikiLeaks hack. I would venture a guess that if the WikiLeaks group had divulged those emails 4 or 5 months ago, and not taking a political stance either way, the Sanders camp would have had a much easier time
Probably.
To cry foul. Those emails were leaked only a couple of days before the DNC started, leaving them with really no opportunity to really dig in and make a political statement.
It lends to the assumptions of why it was leaked at the time it was leaked and by whom.
It's all orchestrated.
There have been instances overseas where Putin in Russia, his campaigns have been accused of taking down websites of competitors during election seasons. There were issues in South Korea within the past couple of years within an election. From a political standpoint, there could actually be election-altering ramifications from hacks or the divulgence of information either on the Clinton side or the Trump side or any candidate that's running.
Right.
Not even necessarily for national office. It could be a senatorial race in a state. It could be a selectman race in a community, in a state.
And it could be a subtle manipulation that is never discovered, but alter something.
Our CTO was giving me an example of how, if you think on the bigger picture, the bigger ramification, on election day, a hacking group could conceivably shut an electrical system down and cause chaos in a city where the traffic lights no longer work. And voters just give up and say,
yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a four-hour wait to get to the voting poll. I'm going to stay home. If that was magnified across large cities, how about in Ohio or Florida, swing states?
Absolutely.
Right.
These are scenarios that could potentially play themselves out over time.
More so now than maybe 4 years ago, 8 years ago. I think we're going to continue to see a progression towards that ramification and possibility.
Well, Beryl, thanks for scaring the hell out of us. That's very informative.
I try not to do that.
I know.
I hope you'll think more about, you know, offensive strategies. The best defense is a good offense.
I agree with you. You got to bring it to them, and then you have some kind of control. And one of their elements is fear. They want us to all be afraid. And when you're afraid, you don't act properly. And if you're taking it to them, you're not afraid, right?
Our customers all the time say, you have really, really helped us. It's not about scaring corporations.
Right.
It's about the reality that we live in today. And our platform is making a huge difference. And as we grow as a company, we'll have even a bigger impact here in North America and globally. And we're doing a lot of really, really good work for reputable companies around the world.
Bill, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome. CyberReason.com.
And let's sign up for a 60-minute show and tell us some of your case studies.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for coming on.
You guys were great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate it.